Hello once again, everybody, and thank you for joining me here on this Friday, January 5th edition of Bang the Book Radio. My name is Adam Burke, your host for the next hour or so. As we go over all kinds of things in the world of sports from a betting focus. Glad to have you with me as we wrap up the first week of shows here for 2018. Good show coming your way today, recorded with James Salinas, also known as Rounding Again, about the 2017 Super Contest. We talked about how we finished up, our thought process, and then an outlook for the future of the Super Contest. And of course, there could be some very, very big changes coming with that, not just with the traditional Super Contest, but also with the Winner Take All Super Contest Gold. You'll hear that here in a couple of minutes. Second half of today's show, Brent from DSI Sports with this week's version of the odds report. Some sharp money out there for the national championship game, then also for the wild card weekend in the NFL playoffs. So we'll hit on all four of the NFL games here this weekend. Not all four of them have sharp action, but we'll touch on the action that we've seen so far with Brent from DSI Sportsbook. Before we get to that, a few things going on over at bangthebook.com I want to bring to your attention. We've got those free contests going on. You win cash prizes with those. Just sign up with your email address. Take your shot in the Daily Streaker Contest, monthly pick of the day, top monthly win percentage, top ROI, top number of units won. Again, cash prizes, no entry fee. Just sign up, get involved with those contests over there at bangthebook.com. While you're looking around the website, make sure you check out our matchup data section, which features side-by-side statistical comparisons of both of the teams. If you're a trends bettor, there's a lot of trend stuff in there as well for you to check out. So that matchup section, very, very valuable here, not just for the football playoff games, but also for college basketball and the NBA, the NHL, all the stuff that's going on right now. Because keep in mind, as we've talked about with some of our guests here this week on the show, some of them just making that transition into college basketball, into the NBA, into the NHL. Football drives the bus in this industry. We know that you've been paying close attention to both NFL and college. So maybe now you're looking for some different things to play, looking for those edges that are out there when you may not know a whole lot about these teams. That matchup data section is going to be a great resource for you. Also, we've got lots of game preview content over there at the website. AFC and NFC playoff previews from Danny Vorgs, daily NHL picks from Parker Michaels. I've written some stuff about the end of the college football season, college basketball futures. I'll have all my baseball content coming up here very, very shortly at bangthebook.com. I'll be doing my MLB season win total preview series next month, and that'll carry on over into March. I'll do some betting tips articles for Major League Baseball as well. We are your one-stop shop for sports betting news and information. This and every edition of Bang the Book Radio presented by our friends at DSI Sportsbook. Use that promo code BTB and the number 25. You get a $25 free bet just for signing up, 100% deposit match bonus for the sportsbook, and 100% deposit match bonus for the live casino as well. At BetDSI, it's only a game until you bet it. Two segments left to wrap up this week here on Bang the Book Radio. The first, our Super Contest recap segment for 2017 with myself and James Salinas, a.k.a. Rounding Again. Like I said, we talked about how this year went in the Super Contest and some of our thoughts for the future of the Super Contest as well. So here is that segment with the 2015 Super Contest champion. All right, I'm joined now by James Salinas, better known as at Rounding Again on Twitter, the Super Contest champion in 2015, tied for third place in 2016. James, how's it going today, man?
Hi, doing well. Happy New Year to you, Adam.
Happy New Year to you as well, bud. So I guess the big question, how'd you finish up in 2017 in the Super Contest?
I finished out of the money. This is after being, the first 2 years having scored so well, I have very high expectations for myself. So I did not finish in the money. I finished over 50%, so for whatever that's worth. But, I'm not into, there's no participation medals or certificates for coming in second and in particular for the gold or for that of not cashing in a super contest. So regardless of my percentage, I'm not into moral victories. There's some things I'll have to look back at as I have some time to decompress from the contest to really kind of identify were there anything mistakes that I made this year? Did I do anything differently? I've identified a couple things, but unfortunately, no cash this year. I came close for a while with hanging around with the gold contest. I did pretty well in November, so I made a good run up into December and was sitting in fifth place going into the last 4 weeks. So felt like I was in contention, and I had mediocre weeks the next 2 weeks, and then ultimately the final 2 weeks, in particular with the gold, really was trying to go contrarian and go opposite, and did well at picking the opposite side of those games that the leaderboard was going with in the gold, but the games just didn't go my way.
Well, and I got to say, I mean, I know that the two-year run of cashing and finishing in the top five is over, but that is one of the most impressive things I've seen in of gambling. So be very, very proud of that, and I have no doubts you'll be right back in the running here next year. As far as me with my Bang the Book podcast entry, finished up at 44-40-1. I was pretty happy with that, going 4-1 in that last week of the Super Contest. That's something that gives me a little bit of a positive feeling. I beat the VIG, actually. I think it was right around 52.4%. Obviously, there's no VIG in this contest, but, you know, still, that was a mild moral victory for me, I guess I would say. But, you know, I think it's really interesting what you talked about right out of the chute, James, is that you start sort of going back through, looking at your plays, wondering if there's something that you could have done differently. Did you change your approach at all from last year to this year? And we'll speak specifically about the traditional Super Contest, because the winner take all Super Contest gold, you have to go contrarian late in the year and try and make up ground. But in terms of the traditional Super Contest, was there anything that you changed, any departure that you made?
No, I don't think there was any departure. You know, I'm not strictly just a favorite better or a dog better or anything like that. I keep my options open when it comes week to week. I look at matchups. For me, it's matchups. It's the same approach that I did 2 years ago in 2015 when it comes to really studying the practice reports, the injury reports, those types of things, same due diligence with that. What I did notice, and I'll spend more time in the offseason really going back and digging into both the wins and losses of all 85 selections. But what I did notice that was similar from 2016 along with 2017 was I got off to really good starts. And obviously 2015, I got off to a great start, kind of really never looked back. But 2016 and 2017 were similar in this respect, that in the month of October, those were my two worst months. And in particular, this year, it was just an awful, awful month for me for those 4 weeks, basically from approximately week five through week eight. So those 20 picks this week was, or this year was really a struggle, and I noticed I did the same thing in 2016. And so I'm going to spend some time to try to identify what was I looking at, and what was the difference there? Because I think, you know, the books adjust the lines, and I think we all come into the season, preseason. That's the hardest part. And I think for me, September is always the most difficult because you have some preconceived notions of what teams might look like, but it takes time, and it takes time with new personnel. It takes time with what you may have some new coaches in there. It takes time really to mold that chemistry and to start to gel. So getting off to good starts is key for September, but something that I'm doing in October, I'm missing it. And I think, and sometimes too, you know, Adam, things that don't go your way. I mean, I had successive weeks 4, 5, and 6, where I had star players go out in the midst of a game, like Aaron Rodgers. I had that game where he's playing Minnesota, breaks his collarbone in the first quarter. The week before that was Houston. I think that was a pick'em when they were playing Kansas City on Sunday night. First drive of the game, they lose Merciless and J.J. Watt, and they're out for the season. They lose those guys in that first quarter, and you can just feel the collective psyche of that team turn. So it's having to also avoid those, be lucky enough to avoid those kind of landmines through 85 picks. And, you know, you can put all the handicapping and put all your time in spent, put all the time spent to really do your due diligence with this, but you have to get lucky too. And I feel like this year I got lucky in both respects in 2015 and 16 to a certain extent. This year, I really didn't feel like any of those plays went my way.
Yeah, and that's one of those things that we've talked about a little bit throughout the year here in terms of the Super Contest. It's almost like playing a massive poker tournament, like the World Series of Poker main event, where you got to run really good in your 50-50 situations. You got to hit some of those two outers on the river every now and then. You know, you don't have a whole lot of margin for error in this thing. Like you said, you've isolated that October has been a problem for you a couple of years. Well, you only have 85 picks to make in this thing. And if you struggle for 3 weeks in October or, you know, 3 weeks in November, whatever the case may be, all of a sudden, if you're talking about running off a 4-11 or a 3-12 or God forbid, something worse than that, it's really hard to make up ground when there's 2,748 entrants in this thing. So the consistency required in the Super Contest is almost harder than the handicapping in and of itself.
I concur with you completely. I think that the consistency is the key. Again, reflecting back to 2015, I only had one week in the year 2015, 1 week of a 5-0. Same in 2016. I only had one 5-0 week, but it was the consistency of both those seasons for me where it was continuously 4-1, 4-1, 4-1, maybe a 3-2, but not having those 1-4 kind of weeks that really set you back. So being consistent through 17 weeks is key. This year I actually had two 5-0 weeks. So collectively I had as many 5-0 weeks as I had the previous 2 years combined, but I didn't have that consistency from week to week going where I was knocking out 3-2s and those 4-1s over time. So I'd have a great week, and then I'd regress and have a bad week. So it's having to fight through that. So those can mess with your psyche too. And like you talked about a big poker tournament, I can't remember some of the games I got lucky with, but I can definitely remember some of those bad beats where you had a missed extra point or a missed field goal or a block kick or whatever it might be, or a penalty for that matter with some of these officiating crews this year. It's tough to keep grinding through that, but I think that's the fun of it, I guess you can say. It is when it's all said and done, maybe there's not so much fun in the midst of those seasons, especially when you're near the top or you have a chance to get a big payday. It is quite stressful. But when it's all said and done, you look back on it, and it was a fun season. I love football. I've been betting football since I was 30-plus years since I was a kid. And it's definitely something I'll be looking forward to do. If now being ingrained in the Super Contest for the last 3 years, Adam, if I didn't do it next year, I wouldn't know what to do with myself on Sundays in the fall. So I'll definitely be back at it next season.
And the thing that I love about this contest is that it's so simple on the surface, right? You pick five games against stale lines every single week. And you know, there are a lot of people out there probably wondering how there are some people that go below 50%, how there are some people that wind up, you know, going even in the 40% and that type of thing. But I think what's so difficult about this contest is that you have to pick five games every week. It's not like you don't like the card and you're like, well, you know, with your personal bankroll, I'm going to play two, maybe three games this week. Maybe I'll wait for a live betting opportunity, something like that. If you don't like five games, it doesn't matter because you have to find a way to get to five games. And this year especially, I think, was a really difficult one for that because, as you and I talked about for a couple minutes off air, favorites did really, really well. And when you think about the NFL, traditionally the way to go is against the public, go a little bit contrarian, play those big dogs. The problem is some of those big dogs this year were just really, really awful. And the favorites just kept covering. Didn't matter what number you threw up on a game. New England covered a 16.5-point number against Miami, then lost to Miami 2 weeks later. You know, so it was just one of those years where some weeks it was really hard to come up with five picks, but you got to do it. And that's the thing that really gets me about this contest is you like three plays, maybe all three of those win. You got to pick two more out of this set of five games that you don't really like. Inevitably, some weeks you're going to pick the wrong ones, and then the second guessing begins.
Well, and that's where you have to really stay confident and true to whatever your process is. So some folks are analytics. For me, I'm a big matchups guy, and I like to go back and watch a lot of game film. But it's having the confidence to move forward with that. And I totally agree with your point that we are mandated to have to pick 85 picks, which is five picks a week. You know, I've had people wanting to find out what are my picks and what are you doing? I want to parlay all your picks. Don't do it. Just because I have to do five selections doesn't mean I love all five. You're right. I may only like one or two, possibly three. Some weeks, yeah, you love the card, but a lot of times you're just in there grinding, trying to find those five because you're mandated to do so.
Something I just thought about here, and this is something that we can kind of discuss here for a couple minutes, is that over the last 3 years in the Super Contest, I've had a partner. I've had somebody who was a regular guest here during this segment. This year, I did it on my own. And I felt like that was a little bit liberating for me because a lot of times what it would devolve into with two of us is that it would be, I like two, you like two, we actually collectively like one, there's our five-play card. And then, you know, not to say that we were passing blame back and forth or anything like that. I mean, it was very civil and, you know, we're all just trying to come up with the same correct answers here. But, you know, there were some weeks where it just kind of sat with me like, you know, why would you want to take that team? And I'm sure that he had weeks like that as well with me. This is something you do on your own as well. So, you know, I think that I can, you know, understand a little bit better what you go through week by week of having to handicap everything, but at least you can go with, you know, what you trust as opposed to a collective effort.
And I don't know any different. So I think you're right about that. I've strictly done this myself, and whether it's a super contest or any other kind of betting, it's always been something where it's, this is just me. This has always just been my thing. I don't debate with folks. And that's the other thing, Adam. I really try, and there's so much information out there, whether it's for me looking up, trying to find matchups, practice reports, those kind of things, but also everybody has an opinion. And so I'm really mindful of trying to not listen to others' opinion. I trust in my process wholeheartedly. So what I don't want to do is start to feel like I'm second-guessing because I've heard somebody else and what their opinion might be, and that might possibly influence me that way. So that's kind of a tricky subject, too, to try to stay away from when you're in the midst of whether you're watching certain programs. You know, I record so many different things and go back and read a whole lot. So trying to navigate those waters to where I'm not falling into having somebody's opinion possibly influence my decision. It is challenging, but yeah, at the end of the day, I know that it's solely my process. And I think if I did it collectively, and let's say we were doing something, let's say you and I are doing that, and I'm picking two, you're picking two, et cetera, and then my two lose, I would feel even worse. Not so much that my two won and your two lost, blaming you. I would just how I'm wired, I would feel bad. I would feel guilty that I feel like I'm losing it for you as well. I've had folks wanting to, here, give me some money. I'll give you some money, James, and you bet it for me. I don't want to do that. I feel totally uncomfortable with it. I don't want to lose anybody else's money. My money's fine. I can dump it all day, and it's only on me. It's strictly my responsibility, but I don't feel comfortable being responsible for somebody else. So I can see how that would be liberating for you, because I would feel completely like you would, where on that side, feeling like, oh man, I don't want to be the one, I don't want to be the wink wink, and I don't want to cost anybody money.
No, yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, it is a two-way street in that if you're doing it with somebody and their picks lose and your picks win, you know, you kind of wish things would have been done differently, but if their picks win and yours don't, well then, you know, that's still on you. So, you know, it's just an interesting dynamic. I know a lot of people like to do team entries, specifically in the Super Contest Gold, you know, where it's the $5,000 buy-in. I know there were quite a few of those this year, sort of feeling out that process. So, you know, I mean, again, it's got to be somebody that you align with from a handicapping standpoint philosophically. And if you don't, you know, then it's just something that's going to be extremely difficult. But, James, one thing I would say, you know, in terms of doing this by myself is that with 85 picks, I would say if given the chance again, I'd probably pick about 75 of those. And that's something that kind of gives me a little bit of solace in terms of how I finished, is that I feel like there are a lot of instances where I just wouldn't have done anything differently. I liked my handicap. I liked the sides I took, and then the games just didn't work out.
Yeah. And like I said, I haven't delved into all 85 of my selections, but just thinking back about them, there's some games where I was completely off. And I'm sure there was five to 10 games where I just was completely off. What was I thinking? But those are the games that for me are better. I would rather be completely off on a game, and then I can really go back and study and say, what was this that I was looking at in particular that made me choose one side to the other? As opposed to those games where, and it feels like it's an epidemic in this league. I know there was a game where I lost because we had another missed extra point. We're talking about half points and extra points now, you know, from however long ago it was that they moved them back. I think that's really affected the psyche of the kickers. And those are the kind of things that grind on you, because you can't – it's hard to handicap to say, well, I don't know if I want to take the side because I don't trust that this place kicker is going to be able to make that extra point in the clutch. Those kind of things actually can kind of grind on you and keep you up at night, as opposed to saying, you know what, I totally missed this side and I'll sleep on it and I'll look at it this week and be better for it.
Yeah, there's one game I could think of in particular, and in fact, it was all the way back in week one, and it was the Jets and the Bills, and Todd Bowles inexplicably decided to go for two, and they wound up not covering the game by a half point. I think it was Bills -8.5 in the Super Contest. They lost by 9 because Bowles went for two, and I mean, that was a game that happened in the first week of September, and it still sticks out in my mind as one of those where, you know, it's one of those bad beats. I mean, I thought I handicapped the game well. He makes a bad coaching decision, and who knows, they may have shanked the extra point anyway. But, you know, again, it's those things that, you know, in a contest like this with no margin for error with a finite number of picks, to not get that one and then be behind the eight ball early on, because if you don't start well in this thing, you know, that's a real uphill climb. So, you know, that was one that stands out for me and sort of speaks to what you're talking about there. So I do want to ask you about this. Instead of just strictly looking back, let's look forward a little bit to 2018 here. You were in the traditional Super Contest and the Super Contest Gold. Traditional Super Contest, 748 entries or whatever the exact number was. We had a Starbucks barista win in 2016, led to that moneymaker sort of effect Super Contest for 2017. Super Contest Gold, we had 94 people in it. Good start for that. But now, I think as we're looking through here, and this is something I've been paying close attention to, we had, I think, 111 or 113, something like that, entries that were 60% or higher in the traditional Super Contest. We had two in the Super Contest Gold. One of them won. One of them lost by half point and got nothing but a story out of it. So what do you think happens going forward in terms of the field sizes here?
Well, that's going to be interesting. You know, I think this year's winner, Granny's Boy, was inspired by last year's winner, the barista. So what could I'm not sure. We haven't really heard his story yet, but eventually, obviously, that may come out. That may inspire more folks. I think what's going to be interesting to see this coming year, and I don't know if it'll happen that quickly, so I don't want to jump too far ahead of 2018, but I'm really going to be interested to see, Adam, what happens with PASPA, and it's sitting on the desk of the Supreme Court right now. And if that ends up getting passed, which I feel like it probably will, it makes sense that it would, that once sports betting becomes more mainstream and legalized across the country, what happens when you don't have to fly to Las Vegas anymore to join the Super Contest and purchase a proxy service and go through all these hoops to have to participate? What happens when you can just do that online? I think we might get to that point sooner rather than later, but in effect for 2018, I wonder if you might see, I don't think we're going to see a digression of folks getting into the Classic. I think that's still going to continue to grow, but I definitely think you're going to see some growth in the Gold, because just mathematically speaking, when you're looking at having to beat out, if being in the Gold myself, I had to beat out 93 other people for a winner take all. Now, yeah, you come in second, there's no participation trophy for that. Thanks for coming out and thanks for your donation, right? But on the other side, you're looking at potentially having to beat out over 3,000 people, I anticipate, for next season. That just doing the math, that seems awfully lofty. So you may have some folks actually pool their collective resources to in fact join the Gold, and we'll see if Jay Cornegay and the folks at the Westgate decide to maybe open up that Gold, depending on how many entries they anticipate coming in. Maybe they open it up to maybe top two or top three going forward. I don't know. I kind of like the idea of just having to beat out, just being the winner take all. But if you're talking about it grows to 150 to 200, that might be more challenging. So I don't know exactly where, you know, I'm not really sure where those numbers are going to be. I would say probably over 3,000 for the Classic Contest, but I definitely think you're going to see percentage-wise a bigger percentage. I think you're going to see the percentage of entries grow on the Gold side.
Well, and what's so interesting about this year is that the total number of points to win the Super Contest Gold, 52 by Stag Capital, was the cutoff for the money in the Classic Super Contest. So that's something that's also going to be pretty interesting to follow in terms of the growth of the two fields, because if you can possibly win the Super Contest Gold and barely make the money in the Classic, well, you know, from an equity standpoint, what makes more sense for you? Is it to try and beat out, you know, the 3,000 people in the Classic, or is it to try and beat out, you know, 150 in the Gold and have that type of final score, you know, be a winner in the Gold? So I think that's definitely an interesting point. And truth be told, I didn't even think about PASPA and what that means for the Super Contest. If you don't have to have a proxy, if you can just submit your picks online, that would be very significant. And that would be just earth-shattering when it comes to the Super Contest.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see. So we'll see how that ends up. I'm of the mindset that, well, so let's talking about the Gold again. So just looking at kind of the consensus, right, because I was looking at both of those, especially as the season progressed and trying to figure out, all right, I'm going to need to start fading some of these consensus picks. It was real interesting to see that majority, and I don't have the math, so I apologize for not having the exact data with this, but it just seemed like week in and week out, majority of the consensus in the Gold were dogs, and they were underdogs. And so it tended to be called more of the sharper more sharper players in this contest. So yeah, I think he's started to tend to see that there was more dogs selected as opposed to the classic which kind of was all over the board. But I wonder if that might tend to change this year. So just looking, because there's just not enough sample size to say, well, this is kind of the norm of what it's going to like going forward for the folks. There's only been 1 year, but like we talked about here, does it doing the math? Is there better equity to go into the gold? Which I think that there, I think we're in agreement that there probably is. But who gets into the gold next year? Is it just more of the pros versus Joes, or is it a bunch of the Joes collecting their resources and getting into it? And that may kind of offset some of just the strict dog numbers. So I don't know if I can take that going forward and say, well, it's strictly a dog player, and dogs didn't do well, especially in October and November this year. And we know the books took it on the chin with the favorites and the Joes coming out on top. I don't know if that's going to happen from year to year. So looking at trends, I'm definitely not a big trends guy, but it's going to be interesting to see what that looks like shapes up going forward for not only next year, but years to come.
One last thing I ask you about here, James, and really, really appreciate your time and a lot of good insights here on both the classic and the gold. At what point during the year do you start thinking about your next movie reference handle for the Super Contest?
Well, it's kind of funny. I think it always is. I don't have a clue what my names are going to be. For me, I kind of have this moment. I think after winning Rounding again, you know, I'm just a Joe. I work in the public sector, so I work with kids. So it was kind of like, wow, okay, I won this huge contest, but I got to be very mindful of how I approach, you know, I'm still living my life and doing my job and my career, being very mindful of staying real low key. But I think then after coming in third last year, obviously it just kind of blew up. So I just had fun with playing around with names, and it always is something that kind of, for the last two seasons, the first one, Rounding Again, just came to me because I didn't even know that much about the contest, and they asked me for a team name, and I wasn't prepared for one, so I had played some poker the night before, so that just popped into my head. And then last year for 2016, I was watching No Country for Old Men, and that was the movie I watched late at night before I took the plane out to sign up for Las Vegas. And then this year, kind of the same mantra. So I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know when that'll happen. Probably the latter rather than the sooner, as far as figuring that out when I get to the contest. It may not be something until I figure out when I show up.
Well, of course, make sure that you follow James on Twitter at Rounding Again. I'm sure that handle will never change. But James, really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us, man. And hopefully we'll talk to you again as we get closer to next year's Super Contest.
Always a good time. Appreciate the opportunity.
Good segment there. A lot of fun to talk with James because, you know, look, he's a guy that finished first in 2015, third in 2016, didn't make it into the money in 2017, but one of the best contest players out there. And, you know, that's quite a skill to be able to take five picks a week and finish in the top three in consecutive seasons in a tight market like the NFL. Now, fascinating chat with him, and hopefully we'll talk with him again as we get closer to the 2018 Super Contest. One more segment left for this week on Bang the Book Radio. That is the Odds Report with Brent from DSI Sportsbook. College Football National Championship game coming up next Monday night. Before we do that, NFL Wild Card Weekend coming up on Saturday and Sunday. Hit on both games for Saturday, both games for Sunday, National Championship for Monday. Great stuff here with Brent from DSI Sportsbook. All right, I'm joined now by Brent for this week's version of the Odds Report. Brent, a risk manager down in beautiful Costa Rica for DSI Sportsbook. How's it going today, man?
It's just like, it's so sunny right now, Adam. I'm almost, you know, I feel like I got the right to complain about the heat down here.
Cool. Yeah, good. That's great. It is 9 degrees where I am, so thank you very much for that. I really appreciate it. All right, well, we're going to go ahead.
Following along with that, I think tonight we got like one of the first times ever we have a hockey game postponed, and that's Florida and Boston. I think it's got to be weather-related, that postponed game. You don't hear that often at all, I mean, because they're playing in a rink and stuff like that, but that's how great the weather must be up there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's been a fun winter, believe me. I can tell you that we're all loving it. We're all very excited. We hope that summer never comes. All right, in any event, we're gonna flip the script here and start with the NFL, because the NFL comes up on Saturday and Sunday. College football with the national championship game coming up here on Monday. So we'll start on the NFL side of things. Two of the four games do have notable sharp action on the side, but we will talk about all four of them here because know, for one thing, there's not a whole lot of games to talk about. For another thing, I think it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with the two AFC lines here, both of them very, very big numbers. So we'll start with game 101-102. Tennessee takes on Kansas City. This number is kind of spread out all over the place in the market. Where are you sitting right now, Brent, as we're recording this here on Thursday evening?
You know, I'm sitting at 9 right now, and to be honest, yeah, I'd like to be, you know, I'd like to be 8.5, but just I think, you know, I don't have sharp action on Tennessee right now, but I've got, you know, guys, the more respectable bets that have come in have been on Tennessee. I mean, I almost wanted to call them a sharp play, but the line really hasn't budged. I know it shot up to 8.5 and 9 right off the bat, but, you know, I'm sitting at 9 right now. I could probably be using 8.5, but my number really, you know, it's working quite well. And the other thing, too, you know, you talk about teasers and stuff like that. It's, you know, it's a common teaser to take teams that are like 8.5 and 9 points, do a 7.2 team teaser and bring those down to the 1.5 and 2. So, I mean, we're kind of hanging around the 9 based on the fact that, you know, that might come into play. Other than that, I mean, the action has been pretty decent, you know, two-way. I do have slightly more money towards Tennessee. And one thing to notice, too, if you take a look at the, you know, we are going to touch on all the games, as you mentioned, but every one of these games, the number's gone up. Tennessee opened, you know, not everywhere, but it opened as low as 7.5, and it's up to 9 and 8.5. The Rams game opened up at 4. I think that's at 6.5 pretty much across the board. Jacksonville opened 7.5. That's another one at 8.5 and 9. And New Orleans opened at 5.5, and that's at like 6.5 with juice or 7 dog 20. So kind of interesting that at, you know, with 4 games, all 4 favorites have been bet up.
Yeah, that is really, really interesting. And, you know, especially when you've already got some big numbers to begin with, and particularly when you look at these two AFC playoff games, we're not exactly expecting high scoring affairs here, and especially not the Buffalo Jacksonville game. So to see the numbers increasing with the reasonable totals that are out there, you know, that is a pretty significant thing to look at. So what about this Tennessee-Kansas City total? Anything notable there?
Yeah, not really, no. I mean, the totals, as you see, haven't really budged much. This one did go from 45 down to 44.5, where we are right now. I have taken, you know, almost twice as many bets toward the under, but not, you know, nothing sharp involved. So I'm kind of inclined to just stick with the market right now, which is at 44.5 or 45. So I haven't really, you know, gone off the number much because everyone else is kind of hanging where they are, although I do have more bets toward the under. You know, you're looking at the weather, you know, it's kind of one of those things that people often do this time of year, especially in the playoffs and stuff like that, and you get, you know, the cold Kansas City, and it looks like as of right now it's going to be cold there, but nothing worse than that.
You know, and this is an interesting set of teams, and I probably should have asked you about this information well in advance to see if you could track it down, but, you know, when you look at the teams that are in action here, you probably had some futures involvement on Kansas City with people expecting them to do well in the AFC West. Atlanta, of course, coming off of last year's Super Bowl disappointment, probably a pretty popular team. Carolina, you know, they're a team that generally tends to perform pretty well. They've got the former MVP in Cam Newton, probably some Super Bowl investment there. But Tennessee wasn't even really expected to make the playoffs. They were kind of projected to be a 500 type of team from a win total standpoint. The Rams with a huge turnaround. Nobody expected Buffalo and Jacksonville in the playoffs. And then New Orleans, you know, probably some investment on them as a, you know, moderate long shot type of play with Drew Brees and the offense that they have. But a lot of people didn't expect this defense to be as good as it was. So, you know, you've got 8 teams here this weekend that, you know, I would say maybe half of them would have been projected to make the playoffs, and, you know, probably not a whole lot of futures exposure on any of them either.
Yeah, other than, you know, Atlanta was probably one of the bigger ones you had mentioned. And, I mean, just New Orleans, how they, you know, how they fared last season compared to this season, they kind of weren't like, you know, one of the you know, popular choices. Obviously, New England always is, Pittsburgh always is, and, you know, starting, you know, back to last season, Minnesota started getting some support, so they're not heavily bet, but Minnesota is one of those teams that also started getting the money, and again, Kansas City, they did last season because they, you know, they fared well last season, so that kind of carries over, and even this season too. I mean, looking at Kansas City, early in the season, you know, we obviously update our futures market throughout the season, so they started out so well at 5-0, and then, you know, I think they went 5-0 and then dipped to 1-6, and then they've gone 4-0 at the end of the season. So it was interesting, like the money kind of kept in on coming in on Kansas City at lower prices, and then you know, when they went bad, the support kind of wasn't there for them. So they're not a bad position for us, you know, in the futures wise. And again, even, you know, even looking at New England right now, I mean, just the price is always so low, it's tough to find value with them.
All right, so we'll wrap up game 101-102 by asking you this, Brent. Where do you think this number goes? I mean, I can't imagine we see 10 here, especially with the total kind of inching down a little bit. but we probably don't see this thing move all the way down to 7 either, right? So it pretty much just kind of sits where it is, you think?
I think so, yeah. I don't think it's going to go up to 10. I don't see that happening at all. I could see this number coming down to 8, you know, maybe touching 7.5. But I think most people would probably, or you know, most books will try to avoid 7.5 just so you don't get, you know, make the buy down to 7 less expensive. So I could see this, you know, just kind of hanging around 8.5 and 8. But I just get a feeling that number is going to go down.
All right, let's go to game 103-104 here. Atlanta takes on the Los Angeles Rams. We do have sharp involvement here on this game. As you mentioned, the opening number in the 4.5, 4 type of range got all the way up to 6, 6.5. Somebody out there at DSI grabbed a really good number on this game.
Yeah, I mean the Rams at 4.5. It was just kind of, I mean, they've been such a public team. I guess you could have been justified to start this number higher, but it did get bet up. That was a wager count that took this game up on towards the Rams, where we got to 7. We were actually 7 in juice, and then I got sharp money on the dog. So the sharp bet on this game is Atlanta +7 -115. So it's kind of a good spot for us in that get the feeling that you're going to get a lot of public support on the Rams and the sharp money on Atlanta. And it's kind of Atlanta. I mean, they really, they struggled out of the gate, and I think they finished the season like, I think it was like 6-2. They won 3 or 4, something like that. I mean, they really turned things around there. And one of the more interesting things to note, I think, about this game is, home field is always supposed to be such an advantage, and with the Rams being in LA, it just really hasn't been much of an advantage. Even like the players talked about it, a lot of people talked about what kind of advantage they would have there, quote unquote, at home, and they finished 4-4 at home on the year. So, if I have to sit there with a position with sharp money on Atlanta and the public backing the Rams, knowing how the Rams really didn't do much at home, I kind of, I'll be comfortable with that spot.
Yeah, and this is something I'm kind of curious to see. And you and I were talking about this a little bit before we got on air here that, this evening a little bit, some of the 6.5s have kind of gone away. Some of them have gone down to 6. Some shops still holding at 6.5. Excuse me. I don't see 7 coming here. My only question about this game is how far does this number come down? Because statistically, Atlanta is the much better team. They have experience, so there's kind of some public narratives there as well with this team of, they've been there, done that. They have the more experienced quarterback in Matt Ryan, the more experienced head coach in Dan Quinn, who, of course, was a defensive coordinator for Seattle for a while. There's a lot of public narratives that you can add onto this game, plus they're the more impressive team statistically. I'm just kind of curious how far this number actually goes down, or if Los Angeles becomes a sharp side as we get closer to kickoff.
Yeah, I don't, from what I've seen earlier, obviously, there's, we talk about the sharps, and it's not like one guy controls the whole market. There's, there's 6 to 12 groups out there who really affect the market, across the board in all sports. So there's definitely, you can get sharps having different opinions on game for sure. It could be sharp money that came in on the Rams off the bat and moved it off the, say 4.5 up to the 7 where it got to. I know, generally the sharps will get in on the best number. Let's hypothetically say they laid the 4.5 and it was, like I said, by my wager count, it looks like it was mostly public money that drove it up to the 6.5 and juice or 7.15 where the other sharp came back the other way. So, the idea that all sharps are on the same side is definitely, incorrect. So there could be sharps on both sides of this. From what I've seen in-house, though, I wouldn't be surprised at all this number came down because I didn't get hit by any sharps on the Rams early on. And it just seems like a number that, it just seems high, even at 6.5. It seems like a high number to me. I get the feeling this number is going to come back down. If it on game day, if it got hammered down like to 5 and 5.5, no surprise at all.
All right, what about the total for this game? This one pretty much right up there with Carolina and New Orleans is the highest total of the weekend. This one maybe a half point below that one. Any notable activity on this one, and where do you think this one may end up?
It is notable for me in just that, I always obviously can talk about the action that we received in house, and that, when I see numbers move in opposite direction of our action, I kind of get the feeling outside the market that somewhere else maybe sharps had come involved in this game. Now, it's not something I can say that for a fact, but this number did open at 49 or 49.5, and we're at 48 right now. And when I look at my wager count, my count of actual individual number of bets that I've taken on this total, I'm about 5-1. I call it 4-1 if you're in the over. So I've got a lot of public bets on the over, yet this number keeps going down. So that suggests to me, at least, that someone sharp somewhere had played this game under. Now, I can't say that for sure because they didn't play it in here, but it's not like one of those games that, whether it's going to be a factor or something like that. So it wasn't, it wasn't played under because of that.
And again, this is another one of those situations where it's interesting to see the number grow but the total come down a little bit. And again, I sort of wonder if, you know, maybe that's a sign of things to come here this weekend, where we'll see public involvement on the over, because we always do. But, you know, this could be a sign of things to come, in that maybe Tennessee does take some dog money, maybe Atlanta takes some dog money, and maybe the totals are our early week indicators.
Yeah, no, that could definitely be the case. I mean, and actually, just looking at all these games, we're going to talk about Buffalo Jacksonville next, of course, and I get the feeling that the dog's the right spot in that one as well.
All right, well, let's go ahead and go to that game here then. Game 105-106 on Sunday. Buffalo takes on Jacksonville. Good story for both these teams, as we mentioned on yesterday's show. Maybe not the most attractive of games to look at, especially with the fact that this total is sitting 39, and we've got a favorite favored by 9 points.
Yeah, we're sitting here at 9 right now, total of 39. Now, there are some 8.5s out there. Again, this is one of those games where I could probably be 8.5. And, you know, I think the early movement on this number, just because I didn't take any sharp action on either side, I get the feeling that was probably, you know, with the McCoy situation, they're kind of waiting to see what's going to happen with him. You kind of get the feeling that, or I mean, right now he's questionable. They say he's a game-time decision. But you get the feeling that he is kind of expected to play. He's played through nagging injuries, you know, for going back to last season, that he always seems to be banged up because he gets so much work. But I do have a wager count on this one favoring Buffalo. Not dramatic. I've got almost 1.5 times more individual bets taken on Buffalo. My money is about 2-1 favoring Buffalo. And this is one of those games too, in terms of the Buffalo, I guess it might be tied to McCoy, whether he's in or out, but I do have a wager count about 2-1 favoring the under. Now, with Jacksonville's, offense, and they did put up quite a few points. So I kind of got the feeling that the public might be betting the over on this game, but they haven't so far. I said about 2-1 favoring the under in terms of the actual count.
So here's a question. I mean, it looks like Shady McCoy is going to play, and at the very least, he's going to suit up, and we may not find out until right before kickoff on Sunday what his actual status is. The number that you have right now, 9 on this game, do you wait and move on, how the news would be received, or would you make a quick adjustment to the line if there is some sort of McCoy announcement?
Yeah, I'm almost inclined to move the number right now. We are kind of holding strong in the market. And again, although my wager count slightly favors Buffalo, it's not a dramatic count at all. But I do get the feeling that this number is going to drop back down. And you do want to, as a risk manager, you kind of want to get to the number that you're going to end up at as quickly as possible. I mean, the sooner you can get to the closing number and hold it, the better off you are long-term in terms of the action that you write. So just my feeling is, like you said, I get the feeling as well that McCoy is going to play, and I think this number ends up around 7.5 or 7 with juice.
And obviously here, this is one of the advantages of live betting for our listeners out there, is that McCoy may start this game, but you're going to know very, very quickly what kind of mobility he's got, if he's able to cut, if he's able to move around. You know, Jacksonville's going to load the box, force Tyrod Taylor to beat them, at least until, McCoy is out of the game, if that is the case. So, if you are live betting this game, you're going to know pretty quickly what Buffalo has offensively in LeSean McCoy. So, that will be something for us to follow along with very, very closely there. All right, let's go to this Carolina-New Orleans game. Game 107-108, the last one of the weekend in the NFL. New Orleans right now favored by 7, even money at DSI, as I'm looking at the screen. Total 48.5. Another one where, there is kind of a difference of opinion market-wide.
Yeah, and this game, it's tough because, you look at, through the season, they always talk about NFL when you play a team a couple times in a season. It's never easy to, when you're competitive teams, you're talking about Carolina 11-5, New Orleans 11-5. So obviously they're competitive teams. So, I mean, how easy is it to beat a team twice in one season? Now you're talking about a New Orleans team who's already beat Carolina twice, and you're asking them to beat them for a third time in the same season. Now, that being what it is, I do have sharp action on this game, and that came on New Orleans at the 5.5. Now, we are up to 7.15 right now. I know some places are 6.5 minus 115. So you're either 6.5 minus 115 or taking New Orleans minus 7, even money, or minus 105. But sharp action did come on this one on New Orleans at the minus 5.5. So, I mean, the value definitely is on the 5.5 and not having to go through a 6.5 or a 7 for sure. But it's just kind of one of those games where, I mean, I think the pressure really is on Carolina and their offense. They just have to perform. New Orleans both defenses have been pretty good. Carolina's defense is good, but you know, New Orleans has got that fantastic running game as well. So I think this all comes down to Carolina and their offense and see what they can do. But I mean, they're so evenly matched, at least on paper, in terms of both teams being 11-5. Now you're talking about the total well on this one. I mean, it's quite a high total. We are at 48.5 right now, so this total barely moved. And you look at the way these two teams played earlier in the season as well. I mean, I think the first game was 47 total points. The second game was 51 total points. You're looking at, you know, an average of 49 points, and that's basically, you know, lo and behold, that's how we came to this number where we are right now. So the total really hasn't seen much action. Even, you know, my wager count is dead even. But on the side, I do have a wager count that favors New Orleans almost 3-1. So, you know, it's not surprising that you get the you know, public money on New Orleans. That's been, you know, for years now, New Orleans has been a very public team. This is one of those cases, though, unfortunately, where I got sharp action going the same way.
All right, Brent, walk me through something here. What goes through your mind as a decision maker in terms of whether you want to be at 6.5 minus 15 or 7 even money like you are right now?
It's a tough spot for sure. You try to, once you get to a number like 7, you kind of want to hold it as much as possible. If you can balance two-way action once you're there. And the thought process with this one here was just simply the fact that we had sharp money and public money going the same way. So you get the feeling until more sharps become involved, and ideally you want to have sharp money the other way, but you don't know if that's coming. So you can only kind of base your decision in terms of what position you're going to take on the sharp action that you did take and what the public has shown you so far. So in my case, right now, the thinking here was, instead of going to 6.5 for, like, you know, days and days before the day of the game, if I feel I'm going to end up at 7 with juice, get there as soon as possible. As I touched on earlier, it's always better to get to the number that you think you're going to close at as soon as possible.
So where do you think this number closes? I mean, what would be your thought right now? Are you going to be able to hold that 7? Are you going to have to go to 6.5? Are you going to go to 7 flat, which would be minus 110 on both sides? What do you think, you know, as you're forecasting this game out long term? Because keep in mind here, I mean, this is the last playoff game of the weekend. And, you know, these are the two most public teams in action here, probably, I would say, for this wild card weekend. So you're going to get a big handle for this game. So where do you think the line ends up?
Yeah, you're right on. I mean, right now, excuse me, just looking at our action, I mean, the Atlanta and the Rams game obviously is a real good chart for us. There's a ton of action. But the Atlanta Rams game and the Carolina New Orleans game already have a lot more action than the other two games. But yeah, I definitely, like I said, if no other sharps get involved on the other side in terms of backing Carolina, I think we're going to be sitting at 7-15 or 7-20 right now. So I'm going to say, you know, 7 flat or 7-15. And also, you're talking about the home team there with New Orleans, and, you know, they beat them twice already. They beat them by, I think it was 34-13 I have here, and 31-21. So they've covered this number in the two games that they've played already.
All right, well, let's go to the college football national championship game here coming up on Monday night. Alabama takes on Georgia in Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. So what's the number right now? What's the betting action look like thus far, Brent?
Well, right now we're Alabama minus 3.5. The total is 44.5. Now that total, we basically open at 45, so it really hasn't moved for me at all from 45 down to 44.5. But the action on the side has moved. Alabama opened as a 4.5-point favorite, and we're down to 3.5 right now. I know there are some places out there that are 3.5, dog 15, so even more support for Georgia elsewhere. I've got, you know, I'm hanging at 3.5, and, you know, I could probably actually be sitting at 4 and, you know, be the only one in the market sitting at 4, but everyone's, you know, 3.5, and we are, you know, so far in advance of this game. I do have a wager count over 2-1 favoring Alabama, so almost twice as many bets on Alabama. So that gives you an indication that the public is on Alabama, but the sharp action that I got did come on Georgia plus the 4.5. So, you know, I could see this one going down to 3. I think it might just creep down and kind of hang at 3, and we'll kind of stick there once we get there. But it would take sharp money, I think, to move this number back the other way.
Well, and, you know, like I said, I mean, this is a game that I talked about this on Thursday's show. It's like the Super Bowl now, in the sense that not only is it a standalone game for college football, but you have a ton of prop betting options as well. So there will be a lot of opportunities for some of those sharper players out there to spread their money around, as opposed to play what in theory should be the tightest number of the season. So how much sharp involvement do you really anticipate getting on this game with a number that, you know, right now it does look pretty good?
Yeah, I mean, from what I've seen so far, other than the sharp action that I've taken already, I think it's going to be just overwhelming in terms of the amount of public action that we take on this game. Obviously, you talked about it is like the Super Bowl. And, you know, for the sharps, being disciplined and being, you know, being wise as they are, if they don't find value in the game, they're simply not going to play it. Now, this number, like I said, the total, I think it moved, you know, it opened quite higher elsewhere. We opened 45. We weren't the first one to market, so we did open 45. We're down to 44.5, so just not a, you know, not a whole lot of movement. My weighted count on the total is bang on as well. So, you know, I think obviously we're going to get a ton of action on this game, and, you know, unless it goes down to three, maybe three flat, and someone finds a whole lot of value on Alabama, I think the sharps pretty much have spoken with the plus 4.5.
Yeah, and does that surprise you that the sharps came in on Georgia? Were you expecting them to come in on Alabama? Because as we've talked about throughout the week on Bang the Book Radio, these aren't the types of teams that beat Alabama. Alabama loses to teams that spread them out like Texas A&M used to do, like Ole Miss has done, like Clemson did last year. Georgia's not built that way. So are you surprised to see what direction the sharps are going in?
Honestly, I mean, it's really tough to predict when they find value and where they find value. That's why I said, like, if I saw that number go down to three, that might be enough to entice the sharps the other way. It could be a case where they're just waiting for the number to drop. But again, because of the early sharp action that I took on Georgia, I just don't know how much, you know, it's going to drop now. And my wager count also being on Alabama, favoring Alabama, like I said, almost 2.5 to 1. So the public is backing Alabama. So that's kind of what's keeping me on 3.5. Now, if more sharps come the other way, you could be, you know, come up with a situation where you get sharps going both ways on a game. So, you know, that often happens. You know, it's interesting too, if you want to talk about the, you know, the two previous games, the Georgia-Oklahoma game and Alabama-Clemson game, is that we did have sharp action on both of those games, and the sharps were bang on with those. I mean, they did nail Georgia, and they did win out with Alabama as well. So, I mean, other than what I've seen so far, they might just be wiping their hands clean of this game.
Well, and I guess the last thing I ask you about here, and I think I kind of already know the answer to this question, but it's the final point that I've made about all four games that we've talked about so far. Does this number sit 3.5? Does it go to 4? If it goes to 3, I imagine that's gone very quickly. So you think we're between 3 and 4, or does this thing close on 4?
No, I think we're between 3 and 4. My inclination, my just feeling is that it's probably going to go down to 3 and get that back up to 3.5. And again, it's just more of a feeling. I think that 3 might be a number to, you know, attract some heavy action the other way on Alabama. And again, you know, it might be the 4.5 was just too good of a number. And, you know, once it's gone, it's gone. You know, the best situation for us, you know, we always get I always get asked the question, what's the best case scenario for you guys in a game like this? And when there's so much action on a game like this, in terms of teasers and stuff like that, that might be held over from the NFL playoffs game. Any number where you get a blowout is a good spot for us. So that's what we're going to be sitting back rooting for. You know, last weekend with Alabama beating Clemson by as much as they did, that was real good for us. You know, Georgia, I want to talk about Georgia Oklahoma for a second. I mean, that touchdown at the end of the game in overtime, that was real big. I mean, you're talking about that game landing, Georgia winning by 3 when the line was 2.5 and 3, or Georgia by 6. So the 6 was, you know, definitely a good break for us.
Last thing I asked about with this game here, Brent, like we said, it's a lot like the Super Bowl now. I've been looking around the market trying to find some props get posted. I haven't seen any yet. I know that's not necessarily your department with the props, but for the national championship game, I don't know if you can recall from last year, do these typically get posted, you know, maybe the day before the game, day of the game? Do you have any idea of what timeline we'd be looking at in terms of seeing all those props hit the board?
Yeah, most likely it'll be the day before the game, at least by Sunday, perhaps even as early as Saturday. Yeah, you want to get that stuff out as early as possible. People, even if they're not going to be betted a whole lot early, especially with all the, you know, the NFL playoffs games going on, you want to have it out there, just kind of have your stocks full. People kind of will check those things out and just, you know, let everyone know that you have them. So I would say, latest would be Sunday probably. We're going to try and get them up by Saturday. And yeah, I mean, we're going to have everything, player props and all that kind of stuff with this game as well.
Well, and again, to our listeners out there, you know, as we talk about here, this game, very sharp, the value largely extracted from the Georgia side. If you wanted to play that, you probably missed the boat. If you want to play Alabama, you should have an opportunity to do that. But the props, probably the way to go here with, you know, less efficiency in that market. And then, of course, a lot of different ways to spread your money around. But Brent, really appreciate your thoughts and your insight here for us today on the Odds Report. We'll talk to you again next week.
Yeah, looking forward to a great weekend, Adam.
There you go. There's Brent from DSI Sportsbook with this week's version of the Odds Report. Interesting note that he mentioned about that game being postponed between Florida and Boston. you know, again, we talk about weather-related situations and handicapping quite often, but a lot of times that's with the outdoor games, baseball and football. Well, in this case, we have an indoor sport affected by weather. And keep this in mind, because there may be other situations like this as we go throughout the NHL season and the NBA season. Of course, not many teams affected from an NBA standpoint, just with the timing of when the storm hit and all that. But when you get these travel concerns, it can be very, very difficult. And I was scrolling through Twitter a little bit before I started recording the odds report with Brent, and looking at the Florida Panthers account and looking at, you know, some of the staff Twitter accounts that they have, the player Twitter accounts that they have, because yeah, this game is postponed tonight. They're still going to try to fly out their regular time after the game. Could be a problem. A lot of flights grounded at Logan Airport. How does Florida get to Detroit the next day? Does Florida have to fly out tomorrow afternoon? The NHL, to my knowledge, doesn't have the same rule as the NBA, where in the NBA, you have to be in the city that you're playing the night before. I don't think the NHL has that policy. They might. I could be wrong. Maybe that's in the CBA. So that Florida-Detroit game may end up being canceled. But, you know, you look at this situation for Florida, playing a back-to-back, going to have travel problems getting out of Boston. You know, do they get to Detroit at a reasonable hour? Do they have to, you know, sleep in the hotel, take a nap for a couple hours, head right to the game, you know, do the pregame meal, all that type of thing? Obviously, there won't be a morning skate. So maybe you can find some opportunities to take advantage here. For example, I played Detroit on the overnight lines already. I think I got minus 123, something like that, on the game. Now, the number hasn't moved as of the time I'm recording this on Thursday evening. But, you know, it's a speculative grab in terms of thinking that Florida, you know, has travel consideration problems getting in. You know, maybe they have to find a different way to go. Maybe they have to take a bus to a nearby airport that is allowing flights out, get to Detroit. You know, these things are all problems that teams can face when it comes to travel here this time of the year. Think about it from a college basketball standpoint as well. You know, a lot of some of these college teams don't have really big travel budgets. So maybe there are some games here on Thursday night where teams are going to have trouble getting out. Then they turn around and play on Saturday afternoon, stuff like that. So those are situations that you absolutely want to be on the lookout for here when you've got these really bad weather situations. Ice storms in the south, big snowstorms in the northeast or the Midwest. These are things that can possibly give you some edges. They create some situational betting value because, you know, also for these players, I mean, you know, what if it's a flight with a lot of turbulence? You know, even then, we've seen some of those stories before where teams, you know, have a rough flight, have to try and compose themselves before playing the game. It can be very, very difficult. Again, I mean, these are, you know, world-class athletes, but they're also human beings. So that is something I wanted to bring up here because it's particularly time relevant right now with what's going on up in the Northeast, but watch out for these things. Any really significant weather events can have a serious impact on travel for these daily winter sports. So that's something that you want to pay attention to, something that you'll want to be mindful of, you know, as we look ahead to a time where, you know, there's not a whole lot of football being played. One more college game, four NFL games this weekend, four NFL games next weekend, two the following weekend, the Super Bowl 2 weeks after that. So football is winding down. You want to look for those edges in the daily winter sports wherever you can find them. And it certainly feels like taking advantage of some of these travel opportunities could be one of them. And again, maybe this brings Florida together. Maybe this is a team bonding experience. Maybe they go out there and play a great game in Detroit tomorrow night, but or tonight, I guess I should say, since you're listening to this show on Friday. But again, this is something that, you know, I want to get out in front of. I can always play back on it if the line does move, if it comes to light that Florida got in at, you know, 8 a.m., 9 a.m., you're going to have people playing Detroit based on principle. Then I can decide, do I want to hold my minus 123, minus 120, whatever I played, or do I want to, you know, come back, buy off of it, play a little bit of an arbitrage game? You can find opportunities like that if you're paying attention to some of these weather considerations. So, again, you don't think about it with games that are played in arenas, but it can be something that has a really important impact on how that game is going to be played. Coming up on our Monday edition of Bang the Book Radio, Joe Everett from NFL Draft Bible joins us for our NFL Week in Review and Divisional Round Preview. And then also Kyle Hunter from huntersportspicks.com. We'll put a bow on the college football season and then focus our efforts on our handicapping the hardwood portion of that segment to cover college basketball. That'll do it for me. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Have a happy, healthy, smart, safe weekend, and I will talk to you again on Monday.